सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We'll chant Keno Upanishad, part 2, mantra 1 to 5. Yadi manya se suvedeti dhabrame vapi nunam tvam veta brahmano rupam yadasya tvam yadasya deveshvatanumi mamshamevate manye vididam. Yadi manya se suvedeti dhabrame vapi nunam tvam veta brahmano rupam यदस्य त्वं यदस्य देवेश्वतनुमीमांस्यमेवते मन्ये विदितम् नाहं मन्येषु वेदेति नो न वेदेति वेद च यो नस्तद्वेद तद्वेद नो न वेदेति वेद च नाहं मन्येषु वेदेति नो न वेदेति वेद च यो नस्तद्वेद तद्वेद नो न वेदेति वेद च यस्या मतं तस्य मतं मतं यस्य न वेदसः अविज्ञातं विजानतां विज्ञातमविजानतां यस्या मतं तस्य मतं मतं यस्य न वेदसः अविज्ञातं विजानतां विज्ञातमविजानतां प्रतिबोध विदितं मतममृतत्वं हि विन्दते आत्मना विन्दते वीर्यं विद्यया विन्दते मृतम् प्रतिबोध विदितं मतममृतत्वं हि विन्दते आत्मना विन्दते वीर्यं विद्यया विन्दते मृतम् यचेदवेदी तत् सत्यमस्ति न चेदिहावेदी महती विनष्टिः भूतेषु भूतेषु विचित्य धीराः प्रेत्यास्मा लोकादमृता भवन्ति इह चेदवेदी दत सत्यमस्ति न चेदिहावेदी महती विनष्टिः भूतेषु भूतेषु विचित्य धीराः प्रेत्यास्मा लोकादमृता भवन्ति। Last week we had seen the last verse of this part 2. So we have actually completed part A and part 2. I mean part A and B or part 1 and 2, whatever you want to call it. Keno Upanishad is a very small Upanishad. It has 4 parts. In that, the 3rd and 4th part is the story. Through the story, the philosophy is conveyed. So in the beginning, in part 1 and part 2, whatever the Guru had to say has been said, and the same thing is brought out in this story form, where a lot of values which are required to assimilate this knowledge is emphasized in part 3 in stories. So, part 3 and part 4, I mean. In part 1, the Shishya is a qualified Shishya. Upanishad cannot be given to a student who is not yet ready. So all the Upanishadic masters, they just want to test if the student is ready and then only they give the knowledge. Here there is no detailed discussion on the worldly matters. One who has done with the worldly matters and is now come with the primary goal of moksha. Every human being, as we have discussed in the beginning, in the introduction, has 4 goals. Artha, Kama, Dharma, Moksha. So, initially people are interested in Artha and Kama. Wealth and entertainment. Enjoyment. Then comes Dharma, duty. After that, you are done with the material world. Then the only goal that a human being has when he or she has come to that level is moksha. Here the Upanishadic students are only interested in moksha. Therefore, there is not much of discussion as far as the karma yoga is concerned, how to achieve success, how to keep yourself balanced. All that is not discussed here. Straight away, they come to the highest philosophy, because the student is also adhikari, means qualified for moksha. The fourfold qualifications that the shastras mention, called as sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, begins with viveka, discrimination. That is clear discrimination that this world is impermanent and it is not going to give us that happiness that one looks for in life. And as a result, one develops vairagya, detachment with reference to the world. The mind is not having the same exaggerated value for the world as it used to have before. That's called vairagya. Then they have shat sampati, shama, dama, uparama, tiksha, shraddha, samadhana. The sixfold qualification. Sense control, mind withdrawal, all that he discusses, you know, absolute faith with tremendous consistency till the knowledge becomes completely transformed into wisdom. That's called shraddha, and pratiksha is putting up with inconvenience cheerfully. Uparama, reveling within, doing one's own duty, not bothered about somebody else's and all that. A student should simply study, not be concerned about what is happening in the world, etc. So, shama dama means sense control, mind control. Then uparama means uparama, reveling within, just doing one's own duty. That's what Adi Shankara says. And then titiksha, putting up with inconvenience cheerfully, endurance. And then he talks about shraddha, which is the unflinching faith, not giving up till the goal is reached. And then samadhana, tranquility at the mind level. These are the sixfold qualifications, and after that he talks about mumukshatva. So viveka, vairagya, shaktampati and mumukshatva. Mumukshatva means ardent desire to liberate. There is nothing else that can interest that person. Only interest is moksha. That is the student of the Upanishad. Upanishad itself means sitting near the Guru and learning from the Guru. And Upanishad also means Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya means the knowledge of the self, because that alone can liberate. Nothing else liberates. Once you gain the knowledge of your true nature, all the imaginations that you have carried so long due to your conditioning drops. And along with that, all samsara also drops. As long as you hold on to this individuality, the samsara continues. The moment you get the right knowledge about this individual, whole thing drops. So in the 7th chapter and 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, I did mention to you that whole portion, you know, if you have read this scriptures, you will understand. They are actually the summary of the Upanishads. There he says, this entire world is from me. And then he says, they are in me, I am not in them. Then finally he says, even they are not in me. So, first when a boy is seeing the snake where there is a rope, you accept that proposition and say, yes, yes, there is snake which has come from rope. And then you say, snake is dependent on the rope, rope is not dependent on the snake. Then finally you will say, there is no snake, there is only rope. This is what Vedanta Advaita philosophy says. So, Upanishad gives that clear jnanam about Brahman. In the example, rope. There is nothing else other than Brahman. Nishchaya jnanam about Brahman. Called Upanishad. When you get closer and closer to the Guru and the Shastra, when the knowledge becomes wisdom, you will see that there is nothing else other than Brahman. So now this Brahman we call in English as pure consciousness. The student has done enough homework. Enough homework he has done before coming to the Guru. He doesn't waste his time nor the Guru's time. All the homework is done and comes and very clearly articulates his question. Keneshitam patati preshitam manaha kena prana pratama praiti yuktaha keneshitam vacham imam vadanti chakshuhu sotram kavudevo. He says, this entire physical body, the gross body, annamaya kosha, then the pranamaya kosha, the five pranas, prana, apana, samana, vyana, udana. And then manomaya kosha, the mind, vijnanamaya kosha, the intellect, and anandamaya kosha, vasana. Thorough analysis is done. And then he says, per se they seem to be jada. Jada means insentient. But now they are appearing to be sentient. Right? Now they are appearing to be sentient. So his question is that sentiency or pure consciousness or that consciousness, is it a part of them, or when they combine, is it a product of them, or is it something apart from it? Is it something independent? And the Guru gives the knowledge that it is independent. Sotrasya shrotram. So like I said, the Upanishad is over when he says Sotrasya Shrotram. That itself is the answer. Means what? It is absolutely independent. Then he goes on to explain that all these are dependent on it. That is Satya. This is Mithya. So you cannot understand the Satya with the equipments which are Mithya. So your eyes cannot reach there. Your ears cannot reach there. Your hands, your feet, your prana, your mind, your intellect, nothing can reach there. It is that which enlivens your organs of perception, organs of action, pranas, mind, intellect, everything. It is not what you people worship here. Five times he says, it is an independent entity, it is satya, it is not nitya. These are all equipments which are nitya. They are in fact drawing the very ability to function from the pure consciousness, Brahman. This is all that he said. Then the Guru, this is in the part A, part 1. Then Guru cautions the Shishya in the first mantra of part 2. If you think that self has been ascertained by you, you have still not ascertained it. You probably still need to ascertain it more. For which the Shishya answers by saying, I understand why you say that, because it is I know the self as myself. I am not conceiving it. Because self is not something that is possible to be conceived. It is that which makes everything to act, think. You cannot conceive it. It is that which makes you conceive. Cannot conceive the self. So it's not an object of perception. It is an subjective apprehension. So then the Shishya confirms that. And then he says, I understand that it is beyond the known and the unknown. The unknown can be known one day, but this is something that can never be known. It's beyond the manifestation and the unmanifestation. Beyond the known and the unknown. So therefore he says, it is my true nature and everybody's true nature. Therefore, those who, through the support of the Guru and Shastra, has understood, known it, knows it. Those who have not understood it, they also know it. In the sense, it is a true nature. Therefore, how can they not know it? They are not aware of it, that's all. Therefore, he wants to say that everybody's true nature is Brahman. Then the text explains, the Upanishad explains that how to get there. Pratibodha viditam matam amrutatvam hi vindate. So you cannot experience the truth, but in each and every experience, in each and every thought, you can find the self. So you got to subject each and every experience, thought to scrutiny. And it is that which enlivens the thought, enlivens the experience. So for that, what you have to do? You should have conquered your mind. He says, Prati bodha viditam matam amrutatvam hi vindate, atmana vindate vedyam. So by conquering the mind, you get certain strength. That is the vairagya shakti, viveka shakti and vairagya shakti. Without that viveka shakti and vairagya shakti, without conquering the mind, here atmana vindate means conquering the little self, the mind. It comes due to action, it comes due to vairagya, is essentially it. Atmana vindate viryam. Otherwise what happens is, the moment an object comes, you get distracted. That's the problem. How many of us will be able to resist the temptations? How long? What is the range where we fall? We may not fall for 10 rupees. We may not fall for 10 crores. I don't know about 10,000 crores. Right? What one falls for, we don't know. It could be swarga for which we may fall. So, somebody who's conquered the self means his or her mind doesn't fall for any temptations in the world. That level of vairagya, atmana vindate viryam, then such a person through vidya, vidyaya vindate mritam. He conquers the self and attains the self-realization state through that, through vidya. Because when your mind still entertains value for the world, it's difficult to see this perception. See, the whole perception is today, I am part of this world, I am born in this world, I am growing up in this world, I die here. This is our perception. The Upanishadic view and perception, Sri Krishna's view also is the same. It is, you are not born in the world is in you. So therefore, that vidya can happen only when the mind is not running and having tremendous value for this worldly stuff. That's why they say first finish off all your, you know, pending stuff and then come to open. Because it is not something that you can learn from the text. It is something that you see from within. So Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Yaha Pashyati Saha Pashyati. Whoever sees it. I can't make you see. You see it, you see it. Why we are seeing it ulta? That is the power of Maya. The ulta that we are perceiving is we are in the world. But the truth is, world is in us. In you. Therefore, in the next mantra, the last mantra we saw in part 2, he says, Iha ke daveti data satyamasti ata satyamasti na chediha vedi mahatiri nashti. You have lived your life as per the Vedas. Vedas means knowledge, truth. If you have seen it correctly, if you have used this body, mind, intellect properly for knowing the self and not wasting it in mere frivolous enjoyments of the body, mind, intellect, then you have lived a life of satya. Otherwise, mahattivi nashtihi. So, nashti means loss, nashti means great loss, mahattivi nashti means supreme mode, great loss. Bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya dhiraha. So, in various experiences, elements, and beings, there is that one pure consciousness which the wise see. It says, having reflected through every element, the wise risen from this world become immortal. So, In other words, your seeing is deceiving you. Your perceptions are deceiving you. How many of us have the ability to not get mesmerized by the perception? It's very difficult, isn't it? You see something and you get attracted by that. And not only you, everybody around you are also seeing the same thing. And in that kind of a group, if one fellow comes and says, yeah, that is not actually there, you say, Pagal hai, they're all seeing, is that all wrong? How many of us have the ability to question what everybody believes? So you should be ready to be called as mad fellow. Because everybody sees it that way. You are seeing it differently. That's why the Upanishadic masters don't talk to the common man. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, do not disturb the minds of the ignorant. Ignorant fellow, let them be. Don't confuse him. So Upanishad wants you to first deal with your mind. If you really want to attain that liberation is not something that you can find in the world. That liberation comes when you gain this knowledge. Because the moment you gain this knowledge, you detach from the objects. All your sufferings are due to your attachment. There is no other suffering other than attachment. That's all Vedanta says. If you are suffering, it's because you are attached. Swami Ramatirtha also says, attach you lose, detach you gain. Then he says the way to gain anything is to lose it. If you are attached, you will suffer. It's a law. I can't change it, you can't change it, nobody can change it. And if you are already suffering, that means somewhere down the line, there is attachment. That's all he says. So therefore, once you gain this knowledge, your attachments will drop. Your duties and responsibilities will continue. And in fact, the mind running stops. When the mind running and craving stops, you live in the present. And that person who is living in the present is the one who is fully with the world, fully contacting the world. You are fully in the world, yet you don't carry the world in your mind. That's called living. Whereas what we are doing is, we are carrying the world in the mind. We are not living in the present. So we are not really living. Therefore, he says, only a person with this knowledge lives and he has become immortal. He has reached the self. Now, in part 3 and 4, there is a story given and then the philosophy given. The story is, there is this war between the good and the bad. Devas and Asuras. The divine beings and the demonic beings, the war is there. There is a perennial constant war that goes on between the two. So Devas have conquered the Asuras. And when the Devas had conquered the Asuras, they were celebrating that. They were celebrating the success. So while they were celebrating, suddenly they saw an apparition. Yaksha means apparition. They saw an apparition on the sky and they were terrified because they thought all the demons were destroyed. Now suddenly there is something appearing and they were not sure what it is. Therefore, they were curious and they were a little insecure also. So when this happened, Agni Bhagavan says, I'll go and find out. I'll quickly come back. And Agni Bhagavan goes. And then Agni Bhagavan, when gets nearer to the Yaksha asks, who are you? Agni Bhagavan says, very funny that you asked me this question. I am God of fire, Agni, I burn everything. Oh, you burn everything. Let me see if you can burn this straw. So the Yaksha drops a straw on the ground and says, burn this. Agni Bhagavan laughs and then releases little fire to burn it. Cannot burn it. Slowly releases, the entire full capacity is released. Still, the straw could not be burnt. And Agni Bhagavan accepts the defeat and comes back without knowing who that Yaksha was. And then Vayu Bhagavan says, let me go and find out. The same story happens there. Vayu Bhagavan gets closer to the Yaksha and the Yaksha asks, who are you? Again the same thing. Vayu Bhagavan also laughs and says, I am Vayu. I toss everything. I move everything. I toss everything. Acha, then why don't you move this straw and put a small straw there? Vayu again, same thing, releases full capacity, nothing moves. So Vayu also accepts the defeat and comes back. Then Indra, the god of Devas, the lord of Devas, sorry, the lord of Devas, he says, I'll go now. And he goes. And when he goes there, the Yaksha disappears. And he waits there. He doesn't come back. He waits there. Then in that place, a very beautiful lady called Uma appears. So he asks that Uma, who was that? Then Uma explains to him, that was Brahman. That was Brahman. And with the help of Brahman, the pure consciousness, you, the Devas, had conquered the Asuras. But you forgot about it. And you started thinking that all the glories are yours. Celebrating. Enjoying. But actually, the glories belong to Brahman. That is the pure consciousness. So, Indra, through Uma, comes to know that the truth is Brahman. That's the story. What this story is trying to communicate is, all your equipments, and not only the human beings, even the Devas, the highest beings, nobody can really function without the support of Brahman. The substratum. And everything in this universe we achieve or don't achieve is with the support of Brahman. And yet we get lost in the success, in our achievements, in our acquisitions. And then we don't appreciate the substratum's role. We become lost and egoistic. This is what happens. If this could happen to Devas, why not to us? So, Vayu goes, Agni first goes, then Vayu goes, both come back without knowing the truth. Because they didn't have the proper values. You cannot approach the scripture with arrogance. If the scriptures cannot be known externally, you've got to develop humility. Indra alone had humility, patience and shraddha. These Vayu and Agni and Vayu didn't have it. they went and had a discussion with Yaksha, yet they didn't know about it. Similarly, our organs of perception and action, emotions, thoughts, pranas, all these things, if you see, they have contact with this pure consciousness. Because of that only they are able to work. I am communicating now through organ of speech. This organ of speech is able to function because it's enlivened by the pure consciousness within. And yet it cannot know it. Because the whole approach is extroverted, not introverted. So Agni goes, and Agni failed, came back without knowing who that Yaksha was, who that apparition was. Agni didn't know. Agni came back without knowing. So two things we learn. What? The organs of perception, organs of actions, pranas and all this, they cannot know the truth. And number two, they are dependent on the truth to do anything. They are not independent entities. So with this depend, if you're depending on these dependent factors, what will happen to you? You ask for loan. If you ask for loan from the bank, it's okay. But if you ask for loan from me, then I say, okay, I'm asking the bank, and when the bank gives me, I'll give you. So you are dependent on me, I'm dependent on the bank. So you should directly become dependent on that which is independent. So he says, the whole thing is the very power that the organs of perception, action, pranas and all that have is drawn from the pure consciousness. That is the satya. This is nitya. That's why Agni went, came back as a failure. Because they went to know. I already explained this to you. You cannot know the truth. You can only become the truth. You should be ready to dissolve if you want to know the truth. If you want to retain the ego, you cannot know it. It is discovery. It is not inventing. It's not knowing. It's not attaining. It's not gaining something from outside. It is removing. It is unknowing or unlearning, not unknowing, unlearning. It's not learning. Agni and Vayu went to learn. Indra went and unlearned. Indra went there with humility. He stood there. He stood his ground. He didn't come back. He stood his ground there. He was humble. When he was humble, in spite of he being the Lord of Gods, he remained humble, and out of that humility and Shraddha, he didn't want to come back without knowing the truth. We will not venture into any course without knowing how long will it take. And a real Shishya, when he goes, he doesn't ask how long. The moment we ask how long, that means we still have value for this world. You want to learn something and come. You wanted to know externally. Indra went, stood there with humility and Shraddha. And because he was qualified that way, Uma appeared. Uma is the daughter of Himavan. So Uma represents Vedanta, which is born in the Himalayas. And Uma is also nothing but the same sound combination. Instead of A, U, M, it is U, N, A. That is Uma. So Uma is also taken to be Om, which is Vedas. They say the entire Gayatri Mantra is a short form of Vedas. And the entire Gayatri Mantra's short form is Om. So Om, Uma, the Shastra, Vedanta, taught the knowledge of Brahman to Indra, who was humble. So when you are humble and you approach the Guru with that humility and Shraddha, which means all the qualifications are included in this. Whatever qualifications I spoke about in the beginning, they are all included in this. With all that qualities, Indra stood there. He had that titiksha. He didn't immediately say, yeah, Yaksha has vanished. So I'll also go back without knowing. No. I have come to know the truth. Now I'm not going to go back without knowing the truth. So even if it means I need to lose many things, I'm ready. He stood there. Therefore, to such a qualified student, Vedanta is given, and through that knowledge of Vedanta, he got to know about that Yaksha. That Yaksha was nothing but Brahman. So you can know Brahman only through Shastras and Guru. But for that you need to be qualified. And it is unlearning and not learning. There is Agni. You know, little bit when the temperature goes up, what happens to us? We can't take it anymore. Just by 2 degrees, 3 degrees in summer, if it goes up, we already start thinking, yeah, I should have booked my ticket 2 weeks before. I'm booked to go to Europe or US, some other place, 2 weeks later, but the temperature is already rising 2 degrees, 3 degrees, like that. So what's the point in staying here? We cannot take the heat. And Agni Bhagavan, when you say, whole fire element, whole thing, is approaching Yaksha, and nothing is happening to Yaksha. That itself made Agni Bhagavan to think. This is something else. Above elements. Above elements. That pure consciousness, Yaksha, is above elements. Why you couldn't do anything? Organs of perception couldn't do anything. Organs of action couldn't do anything. It is above all this. So you cannot know it through your perception, action, emotions and thoughts. That is conveyed in this tool. How can you know then with these values, gaining the knowledge? So what he already said is what is said in the story form. The story form is given for people who are not that well developed. Still, they require a lot of the stories and all these things. So, anything we achieve is because of the pure consciousness enlivening the body, mind, and intellect. So, the real glory is of the Bhagavan. not mine. All the glories therefore go to that pure consciousness or Bhagavan. Nothing is mine. Indra understood that. He stood there with humility. Therefore Uma came. So if you do not have that humility, if you just want to study it as some school text, you will not gain that ultimate liberation. You may get information. That's why he says, only Indra knew, nobody else. In the intellect, when you have these values and then probe through the shastras, you will find it within. This is the way you can know the shastra. There is no other way. If there is any other way, please find out. So, part 3, mantra 1.
Brahma hatte vepyo vijigne tasya ha brahmano vijaye deva amahiyanta. Tayekshanta smakamevayam vijayo smakamevayam mahimeti.
Verily Brahman won a victory for the God. In that victory of Brahman, the gods indeed became elated. They thought this victory indeed is ours. This glory indeed is ours. Now, I always gave you the story, the defeat of the demons, victory of the devas. A simple thing like, I can see. Actually, it is not a simple thing. It's a very crucial thing. If I can't see, what will happen? It will be a serious problem. So, but I take it for granted that I can see. So, every time I see, that itself is a reminder of God. Because what makes me see is God, not what I see. So, I am victoriously, successfully seeing. So, who is the author of this victory? The self. I am successfully breathing. The pranas are functioning, the physiological functions are taken care of. Successfully going on. The physiological functions are not happening. Demon would have conquered my body. Illness would have come. But this is because the pure consciousness is functioning behind it, making it enlivened, all this pranas. But is that what happens to us now? We don't think of that, those things. So therefore he says, with the help of Brahman, the gods conquered the demon. But they forgot. They said, this victory is ours. So what the Upanishad wants to tell us is, we think we as in this complex of body, mind, intellect, itself is sentient. This is the problem. When the water is kept in the vessel, and you heat the vessel, the water comes to boiling stage. Water becomes hot. The heat is actually a property of the fire. It is that property that is manifesting through this water. So what if it thinks that this heat is mine? Exactly what is happening to us. The sentiency aspect, Chaitanya Swarupa, is not this body, mind, intellect. But in this body now I am shining, glowing, beautifully talking, acting, thinking. All this is happening. And I have this ego. I'm a Vedanta teacher. I'm a poet. I'm a sportsman. I'm this, I'm that. So here he says, the victory in these is ours, is what the God sought. So what difference is there between us and this God? We are in the same state. We also think I am this sentient being. Everybody must praise me. So the falsely what has happened, the consciousness which belongs to the pure consciousness is attributed to this body mind. That's where the problem is. This is the wrong thing. That's the problem. So he says, the God's thought that victory is theirs. The glory indeed is ours. But whose glory is it? The glory belongs to Bhagavan. The entire 10th chapter called Vibhuti Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. Vibhuti Yoga means the Yoga of Supreme Manifestation or the glories of the Lord. So there, anything, everything that is glorious here belongs to Bhagavan. Body, mind, intellect, complex per se, they don't have any glory. They are insentient. Jada. But when they come together, there is light. There is the sentiency. And wrongly, the sentiency is attributed to this limited individual by the individual. That's where the problem starts. Such a person will be highly insecure. They will not know the truth. They will be highly insecure. That's what happened to Agni and Vayu. That's the story. It's coming. So first it says, verily, Brahman won victory for gods. And it happens to all of us. That's why we have to be more careful when we are successful. When we have failure, not much of a problem. Like Kabir says, no, dukume simran sabhakate. Sukume kare na koi. Dukume, everybody thinks of God. Sukume, who thinks? It's like, you know, when the corona first strike, temples were closed. Now temples are open in some places, I suppose. But we are busy. We don't have time to go to temple. I'm not saying we should go to temple or not go. We're saying this as a matter of fact, what is happening. Because when we are pushed into difficulties, we'll think of Vedanta, Bhagavan, Guru, Scripture, sab kuch yaad aayega. The moment all the problems get sorted out, you don't think of any of this. This is our nature. So he says, all the glories, all the victories, all everything is because of the pure consciousness enlivening. The victory of Brahman. It's the glory of the pure consciousness. So therefore, you need to be humble when you can see properly, hear properly, smell properly, taste properly, touch properly, feel, think. And all this you can do You should be humble. You understand? Thank God. Thank God. Thank the pure consciousness. The person is, if I cut this finger and throw it on the ground, it won't be conscious. It's the consciousness that is reflected through the mind and the body. It's making this body look sentient. So wrongly we superimpose, that's the word I was looking for. Wrongly we superimpose the sentiency upon the insentient matter. Wrongly we superimpose sentiency upon this insentient matter. And the erstwhile insentient matter is now functioning beautifully because the pure consciousness is lending its sentiency to it. So whose glory is it? And in this now, a person who understands that the glory belongs to Brahman will be humble, will take care of the equipment, and he will be successful in life. But a person who thinks it is mine, it's my glory, he'll be lost in the world and destroy himself. This is what was about to happen to the Devas. It's exactly what is happening to all of us. So this is how the story begins. Tadvaisham vijignau tepyoha pradurbhuva tannavya janata kimidam yakshamiti tadvaisham vijignau tepyoha pradurbhuva tannavya janata kimidam yakshamiti. Verily, that Brahman knew their vanity, ego. That indeed appeared before them. They did not actually know what that spirit was. So when we are lost in the falsitude, the truth is not known. This happens to us every day, every minute. When you see the gold, when you see the diamond, what you studied in Vedanta doesn't come to your mind. In Vedanta treatise book, Swamiji has beautifully coined the phrase, he says, precious trifle. All these are precious. Why are they precious? Madhuji or Sadhana? I can't see Shweta, so I'm asking about it. If Shweta is there, she can also answer. Why is it called precious? Is it precious or not? Actually, sometimes it happens, some of our students, they come and say, my husband is very unhappy that I am attending these Vedanta sessions. He is very afraid that I will lose interest in this family and all that, you know. As if he thinks I am like that. And I say, listen, the day will come when your husband will really understand how much I've helped him. What do you mean? Because otherwise every birthday you demand, I want this diamond, that diamond. So with Vedanta, I hope the demands go down. So indirectly all these fellows only benefit finally. So this is what I told her. So what is this precious? Why is it precious?
Because that's what actually helps you be in.
No, I'm talking about diamond, not Vedanta.
Okay.
Why is diamond precious?
Because it goes through a lot of heat and pressure and everything to become. It has to go through that whole process to become a diamond from coal. And it has to go through that whole process to be able to become, to change from coal to diamond, even though it is the same coal, carbon element, but it changes from a coal to a diamond after going through that heat and pressure and time.
See, all that is correct. It's precious because it is not available that much.
Rare.
It's rare. But that is also trifle. Trifle means what? Means something that is impermanent. Isn't it? It's precious.
A trifle might be like it's not something which is very important.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not important because it is not going to come with you forever. It's not going to save you. See, what will save you from your samsara is what is worthy. What will bind you to samsara more and more is not worthy. I should set you free. I can't bind you. If I am binding you more, then I am a big problem for you. If I set you free, then I am actually helping you. Isn't it? So these are all trifles. Precious trifle. So, gold, all this that people clamor, they are not really going to come with you till the end. Maximum helpful in this transactional purpose. If we are going to mechanically collect them and not even use it for transactional purpose, what are we doing? We are just hoarding it. Whatever we have taken, that should be used for transactional purpose. Mere hoarding will not help. The way to gain anything is to lose it. Keep cycling, recycling. If you are attached, then you are not understanding this whole concept. So that's why he says, Brahman knew their vanity that indeed appeared before them. Brahman came in front of them. Yet they didn't know. But the moment Indra went, because we know the story already, I am saying, but Indra coming at all comes later in this story, these verses. Yaksha disappeared. So, with the help of Yaksha, we achieve success, yet in our vanity, we think we have achieved it before Brahman came to set it right. They did not actually know what that spirit was. Next. Tegmim apruvan jataveda etad vijanihi kimetad yakshamiti tateti. Tegmim apruvan jataveda etad vijanihi kimetad yakshamiti tateti. They said to Agni, fire god, O Jataveda, all knower, ascertain this, what this spirit is. Agni agreed. So, Agni, the fire god, is now sent to see what that yaksha is. That's all this whole verse is saying. They said Agni, to Agni. They mean all the gods. All the gods said to Agni, O fire god, O Jata Veda. All knower, ascertain this, what this spirit is. Now fire is a you in any ritual, you offer the oblation into the fire. And through the fire god, you offer to the respective gods. Isn't it? You are actually offering to the fire god. But then you are, through the fire god, you are offering it to the respective gods. It is supposed to go to that particular god. It goes through that god, through the fire god. So Agni is called as Jata Veda, all knower. And fire god in the context here, if you see Swamiji's book also, commentary also, he mentions fire and speech is associated. The fiery speech, heated argument. So fire is taken to represent the organ of speech. An organ of speech is one organ of all the organs of action. So the style of Upanishads is to give one of the five organs of perception or action. They give the mention of it. By that mention, they mean all the organs of perception, all the organs of action, etc. So here by saying Agni, fire god, the Upanishad is trying to convey that the organs of action represented by organ of speech, fire god, tried to know what that yaksha was. Then the Upanishad will say, obviously, organs of perception, organs of action could not know it. Organs of action cannot take you there. It is very simple. Just walk and go. A lot of us want to go on pilgrimages. Go to Himalayas, go to Rishikesh, go to Balaji, go to all these places. To these temples, churches and mosques, the organs of action can take you. But once you go inside Garbhagraha, there also you go, you close your eyes, because the God is within you, not without. Swamiji says, if you are not a true devotee, if you are a tourist only, then you will keep your eyes open. But if you are a true devotee, after going there, so much difficulty, you go there in Balaji, you will close your eyes. As it is, they make you stand there for a minute, not even a minute, maybe a few seconds. And you have closed your eyes already. So, the whole idea is, God is within you, not without. The Agni Bhagavan agreed. So, agreed for what? To know Yaksha. That's the problem. In other words, we think we can know the truth through this performance of Yajnas, through the performance of pujas and going to the temples. They will all bring about a certain purification in the mind. That is definitely helpful. But organs of perception fail, organs of action fail when it comes to knowing the truth. Pure consciousness. They depend on it. That's what he wants to say. Verse number 4 and 5. Chant it together.
Tadabhyadravatamabhyavadatkositi agnirva ahamasmi tyabhravit jatavedava ahamasmiti. Tadabhyadravatamabhyavadatkositi agnirva ahamasmi tyabhravit jatavedava ahamasmiti. Tasmin gusvai kim viryamitya pidagum sarvam dadheyam. Edidam prithivyamiti tasmin gumsvai kim viryamitya pidagum sarvam dareyam edidam prithivyamiti.
Agni hastened to that. Hastened to that means to the yaksha. The spirit softly asked him, who are you? Yaksha, the spirit, softly asked, who are you? Agni replied, I am Agni. Also, I am Jata Veda, all knower. I know everything. Arrogance. Then the spirit said, Acha, what is the power in such as you? Agni replied, I can indeed burn up all this which is on this earth. So in this story here, Agni hastened. If you are in a hurry, you can never meet Hari. Remember, I've said this before. If you are in a hurry, you can never meet Hari. And all of us are in a hurry. The mind is so hastily running around, restlessly in this world. As a result, we are running around in this world passionately with all the desires. We cannot know the truth. Only when the mind quietens, the truth reveals itself. So you have to sit down. That's why the Upanishad. Upanishad means Upanishad, near below sit. The mind has to sit down. Even for 1 hour, 15 minutes, once a week, our mind cannot sit. It's not easy. Body may sit, mind will not sit. Mind needs distraction. You need to cater to it. You know, in the US, very funny it was. In LA, when I was lecturing, about 4 days lecture was there. And evening lecture, 60 people were there in the temple. And that hall could take only around 60, 70 people. And it was full. So they said it's a good crowd. And during weekdays, 60 people were coming in the evening. And every day, evening, after my class, was around, I don't remember now, 7 to 8 or something like that, 6:30 to 8 or something. Then, after that, dinner is there. There only is dinner. Where I am staying with my host, the distance is like half an hour drive. But some people were coming like 2 hours drive. But they were coming all 4 days. They were very interested. But every class ke baad, dinner was there. There only you attend the dinner, prashad. I didn't know this while coming back. One day my host was saying, the dinner is very important because otherwise they cannot go drive back 2 hours and then book dinner and eat, then they won't come for the lecture. So I was reminded of that when I'm speaking. How to give food also, if possible put one or two massage chairs there so that, you know, somebody is massaging or the massage chair is there, food is served, and petrol expense ane jane ka bhi. Agar, if you give, now, this is the way we need to collect the crowd nowadays. But this is not like that. Because the mind is so much running around, it needs that much. See, boredom, when you say, we say bored. Boredom comes to the mind which is maximum distracted. The mind that is less distracted is never bored or less bored. You need to give so much for the mind, then it won't be bored. But if it needs this much and you give only this much, it will get bored. Isn't it? So the mind which is so distracted is so hasty. And we hastily went. Which means what? Extrovertedly. The mind is running extrovertedly. And the mind runs extrovertedly, you cannot know the truth. When all the extroversion subsides, you find the truth within. That's all he's communicating. Agni went hastily. Then the same story will continue and then same thing happened to Vayu. But Indra didn't go hastily. So got to sit down. That's what I'm coming to. Upanishad means sit down. But sit down not due to tamas. sit down because you have risen above rajas. Understand? You have risen above all the rajas. Shanta rajasam he says elsewhere. You should have conquered the rajas and sit down. Then you will reveal the truth from within. Not otherwise. So here he says, Agni hastily approached the Yaksha and the Yaksha softly asked, who are you? And with arrogance Agni said, I am Agni. And put little more adjectives. What is that? I am Jata Veda. I know everything. I know everything. Agni can light everything, no? When there is fire, you can see things. But who's lent that capacity for the fire to make everything known? That is that Yaksha, the pure consciousness. Which that Agni didn't know. The Agni is thinking that very capacity is his own. That's where the problem comes. If I am having the ability to talk on Veda, because the pure consciousness is enlivening me. If I am not aware of that, then I become arrogant. So Agni without that knowledge was talking like this. So what is the power in such as you? Independent power. What is the independent power that in such as you? Nothing. You are just carrying on what is lent to you by the others. So Agni, what is your power? Then Agni says, I can indeed burn up all this which is unto me. Which means what? Agni is saying, I am capable of burning all this. But the capacity to burn is coming from Brahman. In this context, Yaksha. This is the lesson Upanishad wants to teach us. Now the same story will continue. I mean after this the straw will be placed and all that will happen and the same story will continue for Vayu, then Indra comes. With all that we will see next week. Actually next week we have Sunandaji's Yajna. See every year Delhi Yajna, we used to do it in the Kamani auditorium, you know. So this year, last year we had to cancel because that the time that Corona thing started. So now this year we are doing it online. So the online yajna on chapter 18b, 18 is that Moksha Sannyasi Yoga. So the later part of it, she will be doing from 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. So Wednesday to Sunday, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, yeah. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Evening, I think it's 6:30 to 8. I'll send you in the WhatsApp group. So next week, Thursday, you listen to that class. So next week, Thursday morning, we will not have the class. Right? Next week, Thursday evening, you all please sign in and listen to that yajna. This done this time online because of Corona, not for any other reason. Once the situation becomes better, like how we are planning to have our class offline, yajna will also continue offline. I hope this problem comes to end soon. So, next week, Thursday, will be yajna. Okay? So, all of you attend that yajna and after that we will continue this. Let's conclude the class. Oh. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmanava Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Eti Samarpayami. Hari Om, see you all.